Australia Votes 2019.
ABC regional and local radio stations bringing you the best election interviews from around Australia.
Our first panellists, ladies and gentlemen, could you welcome ABC business journalist Nassim Kadem and Professor David Haywood. I've just had an idea. If we can save the applause until I get to the last panellist, it'll save us a lot of time. But now David needs equal welcome, so thank you very much, David. Nassim is an award-winning journalist reporting on business for the ABC. Before that, worked at The Age as a business correspondent, Financial Review and all the rest of it. And David's a former Dean of Business at Swinburne University, former Dean of Social Science at RMIT, and they've both very generously given us their time in order to help us understand what's going on with the economy. Now, the idea here is for questions from the audience. I'll start off by asking each of them very quickly, though, to say what they think the major issues on your particular area are for this election campaign. Nassim, in a snapshot.
Multinational tax avoidance. So I actually just put out a long article yesterday on it, on Labor's proposed laws to try and get more money from multinationals and how multinationals use overseas jurisdictions to route their revenue sales through and
profit
lower
shifting.
Their tax. Yep. Pretty much.
Offshoring.
They would argue it's not, that
yep.
it's legal.
They
but
would.
Yes.
They would, and in fact they'd argue it with the support of very well-paid lawyers and accountants and spin doctors in order to try and persuade us that they're right and they're not. David?
Yeah, John, I think that that's pretty much on the money, actually. In fact, the other big thing for me is that it's like a traditional battle between the Conservatives and Labor. You know, Labor promising to tax a bit more, but to spend more. And because they've got all that money, they can do a whole lot of things that we never thought possible.
All right, thank you both. And let's get to our questions. We've got lots of people. If at any stage you want to add your question to the ones we've already had sent to us, just give us a wave. We've got people here who will notice immediately. In fact, it's like an auction. You could end up owning the house even though you were just scratching your ear. Brendan,
what's your question?
Morning, John, panel. On the 1st of July, I may become a pensioner and I have a self-managed super fund, and for that reason I lose my imputation credits. I can go, and what the government has encouraged me to do is go, or the Labor government has encouraged me to do.
Yeah, they're not the government
no,
yet.
No, not yet, no. Encouraged me to go to an industry fund. If I choose the direct option under the industry fund, I can have the same investments as I do under my self-managed super fund and receive the imputation credits. If I was a pensioner on the 27th of March 2018, I could have a self-managed fund and retain my imputation credits. Why am I losing my choice of where I invest my money?
Nassim.
So you'd have to ask the Labor Party why. I mean, they would argue that, you know, with limited amounts of revenue to spend on things like schools and hospitals and roads, you've got to make decisions about spending, and that letting 300,000 SMSFs reduce their taxable income to zero each year is probably not the best use of money. Now, you can disagree with that, and, you know, I do feel for retirees who've planned, you know, based on this policy, and now this policy's changing. I don't think it's correct completely to say that if you go to a major super fund that you would get these imputation credits still. So you do get the franking credits. We're talking about excess credits that you would lose. There's been a couple of articles that have said you really need to check with your... if you decide that you're going to close your SMSF and move to a major fund, you really need to check with them whether they're still going to pay the excess refunds. So
The franking credits.
The franking credits remain, but this is up to the level of your tax liability,
yep.
But anything above that you won't get, apparently. So you just have to check that out with your fund, because some of the bigger funds might be able to absorb the costs, given they've got a lot of younger members that are putting in and, you know, they can pull, but some other funds might not be able to. So just please check before you close your self-managed super fund.
So, Brendan, is that the determining issue for your vote?
It's one of them, yes.
Well, how high up the list is it for you?
Probably 7 to 8.
7 to 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's a substantial amount of money that I'll lose with this imputation credit.
And it worries everybody who's in that situation.
Yeah,
that's completely clear. What about the argument that Bill Shorten ran at Q&A the other night, saying you're not actually a self funded retiree. You're a subsidised retiree.
Well, the way I could get around that is I could close my superannuation fund, became a tax payee. I can then
distribute my money between myself and my wife.
Yep. We will pay about $1,000 tax, yep, and we'll save $18,000 in imputation credits.
Yep. So you can rearrange your affairs.
And a lot of people will.
Yeah, they will.
Has the Labor Party allowed for these people to change their investment options and reduce what they're expecting from imputation credits down dramatically?
David or Nassim?
Yeah, because they got their estimates from the Parliamentary Budget Office, which did do some estimates of the impact of people changing their behaviour. So, I mean, I think what you're seeing is a sort of two different views about the way the tax and imputation system should operate. So Labor said, and in fact Paul Keating said it really well the other night, where he said the intent of dividend imputation was to make sure company profits weren't taxed twice, not, I think he used a really colourful phrase of nunce. And then there's the other view, which is that, but hang on, if it's been taxed once, why does it have to get taxed again? So they're the two things at play. But remember, Labor's strong pitch at this election is about fairness, and that's where they're going to keep ramming home on this particular issue, fairness. They'll say it's only a small proportion of total retirees that will be affected by this, and they've exempted pensioners.
Nassim, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You could change your structure so that you basically still can reduce your tax to zero. And, you know, that's what people are starting to realise. And funnily enough, it's normally the wealthy people that actually cotton onto this, not the lower income people. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see how people restructure. The more advice you get
and the more you pay for that advice.
And of course, people work out ways to lower their tax bill.
They always do. They always will. Yeah. Brendan, the other thing that's happening is that the Labor Party is also proposing to limit, to cap, to $3,000 the amount that you can claim as a tax deduction for getting tax advice. Is that going to affect you too? We need a microphone.
Yep. Well, that will actually save me money because I'm paying my accountant to advise me on my self-managed super fund. So if I close the self-managed super fund, I'll save all that deductions and then I can deduct it off my income as a payee taxee. So it's actually, I can change my circumstances and be much better off.
And David, I kind of thought, gee, I didn't know that people paid $3,000 for a tax return, but apparently lots of people do. In fact, some people have reduced their taxable income to nothing by paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for tax advice.
Yeah, it's staggering, isn't it? This policy is not popular with accountants, I should say, John.
Funny. Any accountants here today? No. Right. Oh, one. Frowning too, sir. Well, we'll see if we can get a microphone to you. All right, next question. And if you want to add your questions to the ones we already know about, don't be shy. Now, Raf, who have we got?
Robert, what's your question?
Morning, Robert.
Thanks, John. Thanks, panel. I wish to raise the issue of inequitable taxation policy generally, specifically the loopholes available through family trusts, concessions to domestic and local corporations, and dealing with the mega social and media companies. How can we adequately capture all these tax payable? There seems to be more loopholes than there seems to be revenue streams.
So you think the government's getting ripped off?
I do. I think morally there's an ethical question here. Why are the more powerful organisations and also the more powerful individuals are having a distinct advantage over the average person in the street?
All right, Nassim, this is where you've just touched on this.
So, I
can just tell we don't have any Google executives in the audience today.
The problem is, John, I deal with Google executives quite a lot through my writing, but I will give you an honest answer. So firstly, I would point out that this is not a problem unique to Australia. This is a problem globally that governments are grappling with. How do we collect more tax from multinationals? And, you know, Australia is not the only country that wants a bigger piece of the pie. So the premise of taxation law is that you can't double tax companies. If they pay in one country, you can't tax them again in another. And the problem with trying to tweak the rules and change them here and there is that then you might result in double taxation. Now, in Australia, the federal government has taken steps to try and collect more tax from multinationals. They've passed tougher anti-avoidance laws. They've passed this thing called the diverted profits tax, aka the Google tax. And that's brought in millions more into the tax net. billions more into the tax of sales, into the tax, into billions more sales back into Australia, but the tax on that might be in the millions. Labor's come in and said there's still an issue with regards to royalties. So a number of multinationals, McDonald's, IKEA, Facebook, Google, and I'm just naming a few, there's many of them that do this, basically send royalties offshore to places like Singapore, the Netherlands, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and don't pay tax on it. Labor said, we want to try and get more tax from royalties.
David?
I reckon, don't you reckon this is sort of like a magic pudding? If you like, if you were a politician, wouldn't you go, this is exactly the area that we should be tackling? Which is what I think Bill Shorten has done. And when I say magic pudding, I mean, why hasn't it done before? And if you look at the amount that's going to be raised, this is what Bill Shorten is going to be using to pay for so many of his new initiatives.
Kelly O'Dwyer, when she was the minister, was trying to get down this path and brought in some measures to take steps in that direction.
Yep, it's absolutely, as Nassim said, this is not just something that started. It's been happening over the last few years, and it is a worldwide trend.
All right, another part of Robert's question, though, was about family trusts, which is very different to corporations. Mm. Very popular, particularly with high-wealth individuals, but also farmers, people with family businesses. So is that going to shake up the world as we know it too, David?
I think it will, and I think, again, it won't be popular with accounts. I don't think there'll be a big proportion of accounts will be voting Labor this election, but it will generate, again, quite a sizable amount of revenue. If you want to see how much, we'll find out today, but if you look at through all of Labor's costings, you can see how many of the policies are being paid for by exactly these sorts of initiatives.
All right, Nassim?
Labor's
policy... On family trusts.
On family trusts, Labor's policy is to tax it at 30%, so these are the trusts that... let's say you are a wealthy person and you have children or teenagers that have a lower marginal tax rate, then you can put it in their names and avoid paying a lot of tax. So they've said, no more, we're going to try and tax that. Well, we are going to tax that 30% if we get elected.
Very briefly, an issue behind my question was, last time I looked, I think the Tax Act was 37 volumes. Yeah. I mean, surely...
Well, have you got a problem with that?
No, John, I haven't, but I think the community
helps you get to sleep at night if you have one by the bed.
Yeah. John, so you get my point here.
Once you start, though, that is a massive job. We totally get your point. Let's move on.
Just one point. You mentioned News Corp earlier.
Yes.
Labor's talking about taxing News Corp as a multinational. Yes. So they are gunning for one of those companies, and they've started to talk about that this week.
So News Corp...
And hardly surprising that they're fighting back. Lachlan, who have we got?
We've got Graham from Blackburn.
Morning, Graham. Oh, he's self-identified as an accountant before. Morning, Graham.
Morning, John. My question really is that the two issues facing Australia are growing inequality and affordable housing, and these are two related things. None of the policies of either the current government or the proposed Labor tax policies address that issue. The Economist in August last year suggested that if we have tax policies fit for the 21st century, we need to tax property and inheritance.
Okay, so a question out of that, or you just...
The question is, why aren't we taxing property and inheritance?
Okay, so you want to bring in a death duties tax? Because that's, of course, a very lively political hot potato at the moment. John Fain with you in the foyer of the ABC South Bank Centre on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, and particularly ABC Gippsland and Goulburn Murray. My guests, Nassim Kadem, ABC business reporter, and David Hayward from...
RMIT
now. I was going to say Swinburne because you were so many years. It's almost hardwired into my brain. We also welcome listeners on ABC News Radio right around Australia. Quick answer on death duties. Maybe Nassim, we'll start with you.
The OECD has actually recommended that governments consider a tax, an inheritance tax. But like many issues, what's economically good is not necessarily politically winnable, so I doubt it will happen.
David?
Yeah, it's one of those things that you'd think it would be obvious to have that form of tax, but it's politically unpopular and very, very hard to sell.
I'd rather be taxed when I'm dead rather than while I'm alive. I don't know about the rest of you, but there we go.
Right. Look how much they're shouting. I mean, there's so much protest and so much pain about asking people who own shares to sell down some of their shares while they are still alive. So that's produced a huge amount of pain for Labor. That's 10 steps away from a death duty.
Take anything away. Now, our next question.
Over here, Robin.
Robin.
And a bit of nepotism here, because Robin is a very good old friend of my mother's. When did you meet? Let's get into that hot story. No, let's not do that. What's your question?
Oh, sorry, Raf.
That's okay.
Yeah. Robin, have you known Raf since he was little?
Yeah, I was at his bar mitzvah, yes.
Can you tell us a few stories? Was he a naughty boy?
No. I was an exemplary child.
I don't believe that.
Always top of the class, never got in trouble.
Raf, you were found at the Russell Street Police Station when you were three, eating a sandwich, and your parents had gone frantic. You'd let yourself out with a chair in the front door.
This is true. So think for a moment about my mother, who went into my bedroom and I was not there. And it's only because a taxi driver picked me up and took me to D24.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that can happen today that is going to be better than that. So it's all downhill from here. Robin, what's your question?
Sorry, Raf. In 1985, Paul Keating killed negative gearing on all residential property. He was going to go further, but the political flak was very high. It shambles resulted, and in 1987, one of our strongest treasurers ever did a complete backflip and took off the legislation. Now, he didn't include new builds in it, and he certainly didn't include the share market, which I gather this proposal does. That was very lucky, because the share market 2 months later lost 46.3%. What's going to be so different that if Paul Keating couldn't pull it off, how's Chris Bowen going to be pulling it off?
All right, David.
Look, it was a really good question, actually. Maybe go back through my clippings. It was interesting back in the 1980s when Paul Keating originally introduced the policy that it didn't really have the impact that people said it had. So real estate agents were very effectively saying, this is terrible, terrible for the property market. But you know what, when they looked at it, it was only Sydney. And yet, as you said, he was a formidable politician, Paul Keating, but even he changed his mind. You know what I think is going to be different this time? I think times are different, and I think a lot of people are very worried about the future of their children and whether they're going to be able to afford to buy their home. And I think they're going to like to see this shifting of emphasis away from negative, from private rental towards home ownership. So I think the times are different. I think also he signalled it a long time in advance, so people have had a long time to get used to it.
And the grandfathering, just before I get to Nassim, the fact that anyone with existing investment arrangements, they continue.
They continue.
They're not undone. They continue into perpetuity.
So they're locked in.
Yeah. Do you think that's made a difference? That's taken the hard edge off these reforms?
Well, it was the same back then. And that was the irony about the Real Estate Institute being able to wage that campaign successfully. It should have had the effect of locking investors in, which it did all across the country. And they really extrapolated from one city, Sydney, which is where Paul Keating was from, to make it look like it was an Australia-wide issue, and it never was.
Nassim?
You're right, but they also went... I think they also fell in Perth. So it was two cities at the time that saw rental prices diminish. I mean, I would just say that you're going to hear a lot of, you know, scare campaigns from vested interest groups. You know, the sky is going to fall over.
Absolutely.
You know, it's financial destruction, you know. There's factors that are not going to be under Labor's control. What Donald Trump does with China on the trade deal is not under Labor's control. You know, economic factors other than this particular policy can influence what happens to the housing market. And as John said, it's not just housing, it's also shares and other things. So, I mean, I guess we'll have to wait and see what's different this time. But, you know, just be aware that self-interested groups don't want to see policies for their own self-interest. So.
Well, just to pick up on that point, the property market's gone soft over the last couple of years, really since they said they were going to introduce it. Just imagine if that continues for another 2 or 3 years. Gee, they'll feel the heat on that. And in particular from the States, three of whom came out overnight and said this could really damage our finances. So we'll see how things play out in the future, but I'd keep watching that space, that's for sure.
All right, one more question in a moment. Some text messages. Is this an ALP meeting? Asks Tom from Box Hill. Yes. You're all signed up, aren't you? That's how it works, isn't it? You know, we actually ask you to quote which branch you're from and your branch number meeting before we allow you to come into an ABC foyer. Of course not. A vaudeville act, so you're still pretending to be Raf. We know you that you're all the same person. Did the taxi driver who took Raf to D24 ever get paid?
We never found him, never got paid. Don't know who he is.
No? OK, well, if you're out there listening this morning, you did the world a great favour. Why taking negative gearing off existing stock is a bad thing? Buying an existing house doesn't increase the housing stock supply, so why should investors get a tax deduction for their losses, says Aaron. I'm sick of hearing about baby boomers having their benefits taken away. They're squealing. They're the most advantaged people. It's young, poor people who need assistance in our community today. Lachlan, who have we got now?
Thanks, John. I've got Max from Richmond.
Morning, Max.
In light of the discussion on negative gearing and franking credits, is either party looking at a strategy to support people now with investment options that will make them independent of government support in retirement?
Sorry, so you're asking what are people doing for younger people like yourself?
Yeah, so what sort of...
So you're not dependent on the pension by the time you
exactly.
retire?
Exactly. So if there's no franking credits or if there's no negative gearing, how will someone not like me, because I'm not that wealthy yet, but be able to not be on the pension in retirement?
The super guarantee.
So
super. It's super. The answer is super. That's really what the super reforms were intended to do back when Labor first introduced them, and I think has been fully supported by the coalition. Just bearing in mind that Labor has also said they're going to increase the super levy if they win office. So the opposition said, sorry, the government has said that they're not going to do that, but because they think it'll affect pay.
That's a huge difference, isn't it, David? If you raise it to 12%,
it is.
Paul Keating said this on the weekend. If you raise the super guarantee to 12%, you start at age 25. Retire at 65, you're at something like three quarters of your final wage. If you don't have a 12% super guarantee, that might not be the case. That is the big policy difference, whether or not you like it.
Which depends on inflation as well, Nessie. Yeah.
So both parties have actually said we will raise it to 12%, but they've delayed the introduction of the increase to 12%. Just on that, the Productivity Commission did a big review into this, and it actually said and before the Productivity Commission, the Grattan Institute did a lot of research into this and said that the benefit of raising it to 12% is not necessarily there. It'll take away wages from people now and not necessarily give them back more in retirement. Then the Productivity Commission looked at it and said we actually... it was one part of a wider review, and they said that we need to really rethink this. We need to do more research into it and see whether it's worth raising it to 12% before we actually implement this, because it does take a lot out of people's current wages.
All right, now we've got a moment or two for each of you to comment on what's going to be announced today. The Labor Party are going to be announcing their full economic package, including, we're told by the Financial Review front page today, income tax cuts, bigger surpluses. How important is a bigger surplus, do you think, both economically and politically?
Well, economically it's crucial, but politically... I think people have started to care more than they used to about surpluses, and they actually... It's become part of the sort of wider media debate, but I don't think that it's as important as people, you know, wanting personal tax cuts for themselves or whatever policies that benefit them.
David?
No, I don't think it's such a big issue anymore, John. And it's interesting globally. If you look at the United States at the moment, Donald Trump has taken the Americans into huge debt and he's got huge deficits. And guess what? A big chunk of Republicans are behind him now, as are Democrats. And they're saying, now's actually a very good time to be borrowing money because, you know what, interest rates are unbelievably low. So in a way, I think that it reflects the politics of yesterday rather than tomorrow. Okay. I think it's a little bit of a missed opportunity.
All right. Could you thank our panellists for the first half hour this morning? Nassim Kadem, ABC Business reporter, and David Hayward from RMIT. And the next half hour, we're going to be discussing health policy with your questions, your calls, and some text messages as well. And just to finish up with some text messages, I'm with Tom. Young people are being ignored and left out here, so thank you for your question. The Senate will be the nightmare, and it will be a question, whoever wins government, of getting whatever policies you want through what is probably going to be a very fractious and untidy Senate. And it's bulldust about people being independent, because living on an age pension is just like being a superannuant. The government's helping you either way.